Welcome back in to Ambitious with Dylan Price. For the first time in over a year, I'm back, and I'm so glad that you chose to hang with me for what should be a fun welcome back, and no better guest to do it with than a man who has become a mentor to me. He is an instructor, professor, radio personality, and above all else, an ambitious philanthropian. I think that's how you say it. Listen, I'm knocking the rust off just as much as you may be listening. So glad that you have come back to hang with me here on Ambitious with Dylan Price. I've missed you, and I am so glad that you and I can get together again. Today, joining me is Jeff Brown. Jeff Brown is the voice on the 99.5 Buses Morning Drive. He is an entertainer born through and through, an MC, a PA announcer, and you'll hear me do the whole introduction to him in just a few moments. But Jeff Brown, as I mentioned, is a mentor to me, and he's got some incredible wisdom, some incredible insight, not just on community service, on his deep-rooted aspirations to give back to others, but also his drive and what still keeps his flame lit after nearly four decades of working in radio and now also being an educator as a professor at Penn State's Belisario College of Communication. Jeff and I sat down as he discussed his career, his journey, why he does what he does, and all his ambitions. So here's my sit-down and my first episode in over a year with Jeff Brown. All right, joining me now on Ambitious with Dylan Price, he's the man who guides you through your morning drives if you listen to 99.5 The Bus. He is the booming voice that echoes through the Bryce Jordan Center when Penn State men's and women's basketball takes the court, and an instructor in Penn State's Donald P. Belisario College of Communication, and above all else, an avid Good Samaritan. He's the man. He's the myth. He's the legend. And today he is my guest, Jeff Brown. Ooh. Thank you so much for joining me. This is the first episode I have done in almost a year, so big honor. You are the first guest back.
It's getting awfully deep in here, Dylan, so let's get out of it before it gets to our next.
You're one of the most ambitious people I think I have met since my time in college, so it only felt fitting that you and I sat down for this. I want to dive right into your journey. Radio's been your passion nearly 40 years now. Right. You've been sharing that with State College residents, Penn State students. But what began your love in radio?
Oh, boy. Well, I was in college at Slippery Rock and was going there to be a kindergarten teacher. I really thought that would be the best job in the world because I love little kids. And I thought, you know what? You get to play with them and you get to, eat snacks and take naps. And it's like the perfect job. I was really dissatisfied. The very first class I took in elementary ed, this guy walks in and there's like 200 students in the class. And he writes on the board, 1 + 1 = and we're all saying 2. And he said, no, it's 3. And then he took another 20 minutes to explain by 1 + 1 = 3 instead of 2. Now, my parents didn't have a lot of money, so I was paying my way through college by unloading trucks and stocking shelves at a local grocery store. And it was 8 a.m., and I was tired. And I just sat there and thought, I can't do this. I just, honest to God, if this is it, I can't do it. So I was going to stick it out because I really didn't have any other plan. A friend of mine worked at the radio station at the college, and frankly, they had the best parties on campus. And so I did a lot of soul searching, and I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. So I did it, and the longer I did it, the more people said, with that voice, why are you going to teach kindergarten kids with great dreams of being the next Rick Dees or Casey Kasem or Howard Stern or whatever? I said, okay, I'll get into radio. And I got hooked. And you know as well as I do, once you get hooked, you're done. And my time at Penn State is definitely limited to a few more years. But I think they're actually going to have to put me on a gurney and carry me out of the bus because I love being on the air too much.
You tied perfectly into my next question here, which is you get up very early in the morning to do that show every morning. I can't imagine it's ever easy, but outside of your cup that I feel like is always filled with some caffeinated beverage over yes, there, you've yes. even got it in here right now. Uh-huh. What's keeping your flame still lit every single morning to get into that studio, hop on, and talk to all your listeners?
Well, actually, by the way, I typed up a letter of resignation about 15 years ago, and it's in my folders, and there's going to be a morning when the alarm goes off, and I say, nah, I'm done, and then I'll change the date, and I'll print it off and sign it and turn it in, but I don't anticipate that happening anytime soon because of the work. I love the people. I love being able to help people. My job on the bus is fun, and it's an ego thing. I'm not going to BS you about it. It's very cool to have people come up and say, "Oh, I heard this today, and it was really funny," or "Oh, you're the best," you know. So that's cool. The other side of it is, you know, I've really built my career around community service too. Being here since 1988, I have a little bit of clout as far as raising money for organizations is concerned, and I'm pretty good at emceeing events and conning people into giving money to charitable organizations, and I get the biggest kick out of that. And we started that a long time ago when I was with a radio station called 3WZ. The owners really believed in community service. And up until that point, I had done it, but I really wasn't hooked on it. They were very, very convinced that the way to be number one is to serve the community. And we got to the point, Steve Jones, voice of the Nittany Lions, and I did a morning show together for 10 years. And we got to the point where if there was a house fire, you know, literally before we knew about it, news-wise, people were calling saying, "Where do we donate?" Because that was the kind of reputation we had, is that they knew that we were going to put something together. There would be a bank to give money to. There would be a place to drop off clothing and things like that. And we built our reputation on that. And that's why I'll probably never, ever leave radio, is because I have, at least in this little 30-mile radius or whatever, I've got the influence to be able to help people. And that's, I love that.
And I'd say that's where, in getting to know you, your ambition is most prevalent. Obviously, you're an educator, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And I think in talking to you about teaching, that passion is obviously lit as well. But I don't see it any more lit than when you talk about the community service projects you do, but also the community service projects you've done. Hurricane relief stuff, thon stuff, any natural disaster that comes through State College and the Valley. But it's really any disaster, any situation, you're on the front lines of helping people with the voice and the vocal crowd you have. Why? Why? What is your why in that being so ambitious to help others?
Well, first of all, it's not just disasters. And a really, really common mistake people make about Happy Valley is they think we're affluent. We're not. There is a ton of need. There are a ton of homeless people, a ton of people going hungry at night, can't pay their bills, stuff like that. And people don't see that. And they just think that, oh, it's Penn State, it's Happy Valley, everybody's got lots of money. That is not the case at all. And so that's, I want to be their voice, and I want to help them out. But long ago, my dad had a lot of heart attacks. He had five total. And one particular one, I wasn't even born yet. I had my two older brother and sister, and they were just small. They were like 5 and 7 or something like that. He had it on November, before Christmas, bad one, and wiped them out. And, you know, I have always admired my mom and dad because they never took any public assistance or any handouts, per se. They just fought. I mean, my mom worked 3 jobs until my dad could start working again, things like that. So we get up to Christmas. My brother and sister, being little kids, would see stuff, you know, oh, I want Santa to bring me this. And my sister really wanted this little China doll. And my brother wanted this red bicycle. And that's all they talked about. And, of course, mom and dad knew there was no way they were going to be able to afford it. And in fact, they didn't know they'd be able to get Christmas dinner, let alone presents. So they kept trying to, well, you know, Santa can't get to everybody, and they were giving them all this stuff. And my mom used to say, my sister would look at her and say, "Oh, no, Mommy, you don't understand. We've both been so good this year. I know Santa won't forget us." And it was breaking their hearts. So the morning of Christmas Eve, as my mom tells the story, she got a telephone call, didn't recognize the voice, and said, "You better get all that stuff off the porch before your kids wake up." So she went out, and there on the front porch, the porch was filled, and it was a big porch, filled with bags, gifts, food, candy, and at the end of all the bags, and I'll choke up, I always do, that China doll and that bike. And they went to their graves never knowing who did it. All they know is the community came together and helped them when they needed it. And so I've never forgotten that, and I've always thought that is the coolest thing ever, and if I can do anything like that, I'm going to do it. And so that's what I try to do throughout my broadcasting career. I've sat at night, early in my career, staring at the walls going, how am I going to pay the electric bill? Or how am I buying this birthday present? Or how am I doing this and that? I understand that. So if I can do anything to keep people from feeling that way, because I know what it does to your gut, I want to do it. And that's what drives me, is I just think back to my mom and dad. I think back to the times that I have spent, and I think of some of the people who I've spoken to that I've been able to help, along with the help of a lot of people. I certainly didn't do it by myself. I think back to that, and I say, yeah, that's why I'm here.
At what point was that change evident to you, that your flame being lit wasn't necessarily that ego anymore? And I know you said that it still plays a little bit of a part,
right,
but it wasn't, you know, about trying to be the next Howard Stern anymore. It was about, you said pretty eloquently, the 30-mile radius of people you could help.
Right.
And that's what keeps you going. What point do you feel like that change occurred in your career trajectory?
I don't know that there was an actual change, you know, or that I actually said, oh, okay, I'm going to do this. I got burnt really badly at a job in Syracuse, New York. I mean, really, it cut me off the knees, and it just devastated me confidence-wise. And maybe that was it. You know, I don't know. But when that happened, it did let me know, when I moved here and got involved with the Barkers and 3WZ, that there was a complete other side to radio. I've always enjoyed putting on a show, and I've always enjoyed making people laugh. And like I said, having people come up and going, oh, I almost drove my car off the road today when you said that. That's so much fun. So I've always had that. Because I had that in college, I would have people come up and talking to me. But just seeing the quote-unquote serious side and the really important side of being famous, even in that 30-mile radius, that I can say, hey, we need to raise money, help us out. And they do. I have never been in an area, and frankly, with all my colleagues across the United States that I talk to, they've never heard of an area like Happy Valley that has this tremendous capacity to give. We just take care of each other. It's the weirdest thing, but it's the greatest thing. I know if I go on the air and say, I have this need, it's going to be filled. It's unbelievable. And my friends envy me because of that, because they don't live in an area like that. They have to pull some teeth to get stuff. Boy, this area, and it's not just me, it's any organization that says, we're in trouble, we need help, they get the help.
What also inspires you to get up every morning beyond just going to the bus, but also coming into the Bellisario Media Center and teaching and imparting that wisdom and all you've learned on people like myself?
I think I am at Penn State with Comm Radio and with the class that I teach to help you guys find jobs. And you take the number of students that graduate from the College of Comm every semester, multiply that by how many colleges and universities across the United States. That's a lot of people vying for the same jobs. So you've got to stand out, and you've got to be better. You can't just be the same. You can't be vanilla. And I'm seeing so many people now who are, you know, in my class, oh, I got a C. I'm all right with a C. Why in the hell would you be okay with a C? You know, my career is basically over. You know, I'm definitely on the downward slope. I have had lots of great experiences, a lot of fun, and a lot of really touching things that have happened. But you guys are just starting out. This is your career. And if you're waiting for somebody to knock on your door saying, hey, didn't see you in class today, or hey, your project could have been a whole lot better, you're only hurting yourselves. And 10 years from now, you're going to be sitting around at a job you don't like with money that you're not happy with, saying, what the hell happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. You didn't apply yourself when you were in college. You can have a great time in college. You can party your buns off. I did. I will admit to it, I partied my butt off. It took me 5.5 years to get through Slippery Rock. But you can still be good. You can still make a difference. You can still have a great career. But you've got to want it. Mom and dad can't want it for you. Your friends can't want it for you. Your girlfriend or boyfriend can't want it for you. If you don't have that fire, and you know it because you've got it, if you don't have that fire in your gut to be good, you're just going to be average. And who in the hell wants to be average?
Well, thank you. I do appreciate all the kind words you said to me, but I think it's even more interesting to observe the animation when you and I are talking here, obviously, but is interesting to watch how animated and passionate you are about this, even after, you know, all these things like we've talked about of teaching. Why? Why is there still this urge to push people to be in their corner when, like you said, sometimes people don't even want to be in their own corner these days?
Because people did it for me, first of all, and I want to pay it forward, although I hate that cliche. And because I know enough people who feel that way. And I don't want anybody to feel that. This is your one shot. This is your life. And when your life is over, you don't get to say, hey, can I go back 30 years and try this again? It doesn't happen that way. You know, and you've got to look forward. And sitting here as a 19, 20, 21-year-old college student, it looks like you've got the rest of eternity to do whatever. You don't. You don't, especially in broadcasting. There's a finite line in the sand when you get too old to, quote-unquote, make it. So you got to make it now. And in order to make it now, you've got to work your ass off. And you've got to plan ahead. And you can't think that people are going to hand you things. Don't get me started on the trophy generation. You know, the participation trophy. God, that makes me crazy. That makes me absolutely crazy. You don't, or you shouldn't, get a trophy just for showing up. It's okay to be the best and get an award for being the best. In fact, that's how it should be. Not just, oh, we're all okay and it's all happy. And no, because that makes you work. I know it made me work. I was average at best at sports. Loved playing sports. Average at best. Never a star, never a superstar, never anything like that. But that's what made me work. You know, I saw my friends maybe starting ahead of me. Or I saw my friends getting a well-deserved MVP award or whatever. I wanted that. But I don't want somebody to give it to me. I want to earn it. And when you see somebody else doing it and you have that fire, then you say, by God, I'm going to get the next one. And that makes you work harder. And that's the way it should be. And it isn't. And it just drives me insane. But I don't want any of you, especially those of you who I get really close to at Comm Radio or in my class, I don't want any phone calls from you 5 years from now saying, I can't find a job anywhere. I can't do this. Or I hate what I'm doing. I'm stuck. I don't ever want to get a phone call like that. You know, I certainly don't want you to not call me, you know, if you're feeling that way. But, you know, I want to get the phone calls, you know, from people saying, hey, just got a promotion here. Hey, just got hired by ESPN. Hey, I started my play-by-play job here. I want those. I want you guys to succeed. I don't get a bonus for it, except I just go, yeah, this is good. It worked. What I did, what all the other instructors and professors at the college did, it worked. We enabled you to fulfill your dream. And that's the best pay of all, is to know that we made a difference and that we helped you achieve your goals. That's what I meant.
Very good answer and a very good why to be in it with, as I mentioned, a passionate plea for people to get off their ASS, as you said it, and get to work and get to going after it.
Absolutely. I mean, God, I just don't understand it. And the sad thing is, most of them won't understand it until it's too late. And then they're, no offense to anybody out there, then they're selling cars or they're selling insurance or they're whatever and reliving the glory days when they could be living the glory days had they applied themselves.
That is a heck of a quote. That is a banner. Put that on a wall in your office right now. Put that up there. That is a banner-worthy quote.
Yeah.
With that said, two questions to go here, and they're both staples of this program. You've demonstrated, obviously, in talking about your journey, the ambition you've carried. You've also put a plea in this episode to others to be ambitious and put themselves out there. But in all you've done, in all you've accomplished, when it's all said and done, and you've talked about the bus and the being a shelf life on that, and also your education, or education profession, that is.
Right.
What do you want your legacy to have been?
Oh, geez, you're going to have to edit this. I guess on my tombstone, I would want it to say he cared. You know, I I care for the community. I care for you guys. I care deeply for my family. I cared. I always wanted to make everybody better and make everybody's lives better. If I can do that, great. I mean, that's something you don't succeed at. There's a great quote. Ricky Gervais has a show called Afterlife. I don't know if you've ever seen it or not. But Ricky Gervais lost his wife to cancer, and his character lost his wife to cancer, decides that he wants to kill himself. And he decided not to do that, but he figured this is great because now he can say anything. He can treat anybody any way he wants to. Doesn't matter anymore. And if it gets too bad, he'll just kill himself. That'll be his fallback. But he meets this woman at cemetery where his wife is buried. She sits on a park bench and visits her husband, who is buried right beside his wife. And they're sitting there one day, and I wish I could remember the full quote, but she said, happiness is what it's all about. And happiness, you have no control over happiness. And there's a great saying, I don't remember who she said it, but it's basically old men planting trees, knowing full well they'll never be able to enjoy the shade that it will provide. That is selflessness. That is doing for others. You're going to plant this tree. You're never going to enjoy it by the time it gets big, but others will. And if you do that with your life, if you plant your quote-unquote trees and other people can enjoy them, you've led a good life. I don't care how much you made.
That was an incredibly profound answer. I'm one of the most I've ever gotten to that question, so I appreciate it.
I will tell you, I reran that segment about four times when I saw it because it hit me like a 2x4 across the head. And I just go, well, I got to rewind it. And I wish I could remember it better. But that truly is what it's all about. And can you imagine a world where we all felt that way? Where we were all selfless enough to do kind acts for others, whether we get any benefit from it or not.
That would be the perfect place to live in, the perfect society.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't know if I don't know if we're there yet. I don't know if we ever will be.
I think we're screwed, but you know, it's we can all do our little parts to make our little areas better.
And I think you do a great job with that.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
As I round out here, as we wrap up this very incredibly deep and profound conversation.
I didn't mean to get so deep.
It got very philosophical about ambition, about life, etc. So I want to tie it off with a very different question. Also want to ask every guest who comes on the show, and it's the following.
Okay.
If you could be any kind of boat, what boat would you be and why?
If I could be any kind of boat, what would I be? I would probably say a small sailboat, because anybody I have ever known who has had a, not a big one, but a small, maybe 2 or 3 person, whatever, sailboat, just talks about how peaceful it is to get out on the water, the wind catches the sails, and it's always a beautiful day, and it's always sunny and warm, and it takes them away from all of their problems for a little bit. They just get lost. And to be able to do that for people would be great.
That's a terrific answer. Kind of the perfect wrap to this episode as well, because I think that's kind of what you do with the show every morning and also with teaching all of us. You help us either guide us to a better future where we're happy and pursuing our ambitions, or you help people just get lost. Hopefully not to the point they're driving their cars off the road, but get lost and be an escape from reality. Jeff, I can't thank you enough for all you've done for me, for so many students, and also for all the listeners in Happy Valley that you entertain every single morning.
Well, I know that you will oh shucks me on this one, but you are, I've been doing this since 2001, and you were one of the most outstanding students I've ever had. It has been a pleasure and a joy, and I'll thank your mom when I see her for letting you come to Penn State, because it was you and students like you spur me on.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. You got one more year of me. You can't kick me to the curb just yet. But
I can't. Maybe I'll retire after that year. How about that?
But nonetheless, Jeff, can't thank you enough for doing this with me. Greatly appreciate it. And that was Jeff Brown, the man, as I said, the myth, the legend. Can't thank you enough, Jeff.
You're welcome, Dylan.
That's that. Can't thank Jeff Brown enough for hopping on. Just an incredible, profound conversation, and so glad that he could take the time out of his busy day to come sit down with me in the Belisario Media Center, where him and I got together to tape that conversation. Hey, listen, until you and I get together again, let's not try to make it a year, all right? I plan to be back talking to you very, very soon, wherever you are, wherever you may be. Tune in next time when I sit down with another mentor of mine and someone who is an industry legend as it pertains to radio as well, keeping the radio personality and the legend theme going. We'll get together again soon, but wherever you are, wherever you may be, thank you for hanging with me on Ambitious with Dylan Price.